There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
B-Pod Studios.
All right, we'll continue with the Patriots here for a little bit because it is a post-mortem. And I'm here with three Patriot fans. I'm here with Joe Murray. I'm here with a longtime season ticket holder. I'm here with John, who was I respect because he was a fan before most of you.
Rod Rust, baby, 1-15. I was there. I was sitting on those damn metal benches watching that team.
Lockhart's a lifelong Patriots fan, and they're all pissed.
Yeah,
I don't get why the audience isn't, but all right. Adam, go ahead. Adam, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
So I had a quick question about Mac Jones and his arm. Is it possible for them to get him to be like that much more strength in his arm from one season to the next?
You can strengthen an arm. You can for sure. I know for a fact you can strengthen an arm because I've seen baseball players do it.
Remember Roger Clemens used to punch the ice?
No, not the ice. He would put it in a rice barrel.
Yes, he punched the rice.
Joe, if you want to know the trick. He might have put his arm in ice to heal it, but to strengthen it. If you want to know the tricks of the, I know every stupid thing you can do in baseball. It didn't work for me, but he can strengthen his arm, but the thing is that I don't think you can, but listen, in my opinion, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, here's the things he can do. He can develop his body to better take a beating throughout the season. It wasn't fair to him. He didn't have a chance to really do that because of, national championship game, get ready for the combine, quarterback battle, then you're playing more games than you've ever played in your entire life. He can strengthen his arm to a degree, but he can't make himself Mahomes or
Rodgers. Josh Allen. I mean, he'll always be, he might be a slightly better version of himself, but he'll always be that guy that you have to design a different offense.
I would have to assume that he can strengthen his arm to a degree where he doesn't have to wind up and throw his body into every throw.
He needs to strengthen his entire core.
Yes.
Is what he needs to do.
Squats,
it's not just about his arm, it's everything.
Let's use the Nelson Aguilar throw down the sideline. It's a good play by Micah Hyde, don't get me wrong.
Great.
He lofts that a little bit more.
Thank you.
And it's wide open touchdown.
Thank you. It was a great play, and I don't fault Mac Jones on that, but if you have 25 inches. Other guys in the league make that throw, it's coming in there a lot faster, and there's not the hang time on it.
And I don't want to get on Garoppolo about it, but remember the one he missed in the Super Bowl? Like, I think he missed it. He did one this weekend where he overthrew Ayuk, I think it was.
Yes.
Now they're saying he's got a shoulder thing. So I don't know if they're trying to
he's always hurt.
Temper his thoughts on that one. But he's a guy that has a little bit of an overthrow with a strong arm. Mac is just missing a little bit. He will grow, and I think he will make those throws.
He'll be able to make that throw.
He better. If he doesn't, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, if he can't throw from the pocket.
He can't throw an out to the sideline fast. This is what this team does, right? They're, again, I think they need to get away from the possession. Hunter Henry catches the ball, falls. All these guys catch a ball, they fall.
You need
to train to do that, by the way.
Well, we've discussed this on the show, is you need a guy who can take... can catch a ball 10 yards downfield and then take it.
Because that Alabama man, he would just, Jalen Waddle, see you later. Yeah. Williams, boom.
But we all, I don't get, we all knew he didn't have the arm strength. Like, they weren't making it up.
Yeah. But we saw it on display this week.
But what's funny, though, is that they'll go, well, like, he seems like he has a strong arm. Yeah, he's a professional quarterback. I mean, yeah, he can throw the ball downfield.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not playing peewee football. I mean, he's enough to be a first round pick, but the idea that, again, all these coaches now want guys that can go off script. They all want guys that when pressure's on, they can roll. I mean, they don't want him to do this, but a lot of these guys can throw across their bodies to the other side of the field. I'm sure a lot of coaches don't want that regardless. But they want guys who can throw at different arm angles. They want guys who can throw off one foot.
Stafford last night was throwing sidearms.
That's what they want. And so I get why the quarterbacks were taken ahead of Mac Jones, is that they felt, listen, maybe this year they're not ready, but we believe we can coach them up, is what I would believe.
Yeah.
All right. Vic, go ahead.
I just find it hard, outside of a NASCAR event, when can you take a guy with a mullet doing tongue wagging in your face? And he's a guy of privilege, and you got players in the locker room that have come from nothing. And this guy, I just don't see how you can have that in your locker room. And then you have Mayo, who's there, who's actually been through it, and it's like, who do you listen to at that point? You definitely go with Mayo over the coach.
Well, do I see Steve Belichick getting calls for head coaching jobs? No.
You know, it's fascinating to me. Every time I see Steve Belichick, you know, thought of as the defensive coordinator, I think about something Aqib Talib told us and how you have to command the room. He was talking about Vance Joseph and how he knew Vance Joseph wasn't going to be a good head coach day one. You know, you have to be able to go in that room and command the respect of everyone in there. Does Steve Belichick that guy?
No,
I don't think so.
No, I don't see how he could be.
Whenever we all worked real jobs. I mean, when you see the guy's kid running around, you're like, all right, bro, like, come on, I'm not messing with you. Right. Tell your dad to tell me to do this, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it works.
Unless you're like this brilliant Shanahan-esque offensive mind, like where you're like, oh, wow. Well, I mean, this guy like knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. Like, I think Mick Lombardi's in the organization, I think, Mike Lombardi's kid. Who like is on track to be like an offensive coordinator? I think he's like on track to be on the offensive side of something, but like still get the last name. I don't know. Like, do you look at it with the last name and say, "I respect this guy"? The nepotism's real here, and I think the Mayo point is real. But lay off the mullet guys. Like, there's Mike Gundy's been around for years. Has been a very good coach. Coastal Carolina coach, very good coach.
Here's my problem.
Lay off the mullet.
Here's my problem with the mullet. The mullet was funny 25 years ago.
Yeah, when Gastineau had it, it was cool.
No. Beyond that, like, that was unironic. The ironic mullet, if you showed me this when Mullets Galore was a webpage, I don't know if you were familiar with that one. You know, when you're talking about Kentucky waterfalls and firebird mullets and things of that nature, those were that was when it was funny. Now it's just like, hey, I played lacrosse.
Yeah.
I mean, all a mullet now says is, hey, I went to private school and played lacrosse. And, you know, have a job that allows me to do this.
Mike Gundy's a man. Remember when he was, I'm a man, I'm 40. Like, mm-hmm. I loved when he had that. He still's got the mullet. I love him. I lay off.
No, he didn't. He cut the mullet.
I think he still has a mullet, I believe.
Coach of who?
Oklahoma State.
No, he cut it.
I'll look it up. I know. No,
he cut it. He didn't have it at the end of the game, season.
Did Mike Gundy cut the mullet?
Gundy did cut the mullet.
This is big. This is breaking news.
It is breaking news. Yeah, because your mullet now, like if you came out with like Liberty Spikes or something, I'd be like, all right. Or if you came out like with a full on like GBH mohawk. Yeah.
Gundy's in his mid-50s, and I have visual evidence that suggests that he does not have the mullet.
Yeah, he cut it off. It was big news. I'm surprised. You followed the college game.
I'm told this
last
is
time
a
I saw him, he had a mullet.
Nah, at the end of the year, he had cut the mullet. I think when things went kind of south for him,
I think he's out on the mullet. I think it's gone.
Because the mullet, you're taking no chances with it. The mullet just tells me that you went to like a private school and played lacrosse. That's all. That's the message it sends to me.
I think I'm going to roll with you on that one, Fred.
Like, if he had, like, sleeves and, like, neck tats and, like, face tats, then I'd be like, all right, this kid's, like, taking chances. Like, this kid's, like, putting the tats where the judge can see him. You know, like, if that, then I'd be like, all right. Even though if you get a face tat, I'm immediately afraid of you.
Sorry, it's the Coastal Carolina quarterback, Grayson McCall.
Well, okay. He obviously went to private school and played lacrosse. Because that is what entirely the mullet is.
Yeah,
because what the mullet is now is like all your friends did it too.
Right,
It was like a team thing.
The whole hockey team did it.
Right,
that's right. Yeah, we shaved our heads. That was what we did.
Yeah,
but it's true. Captain my junior year, hair never grew back.
Man. I actually went to college with a kid named Grayson. Went to Pingree. I mean, it's true. They all go to private school.
Yeah, like anytime like your big like rebellious thing is that you and all your teammates did it. Is always yeah. Like, all right, dude. Like you're
so
not
true.
You're not really taking a chance at this point.
Yeah.
Now, if he had like a tail, like that went around, like not like a physical tail, but like the old like in fourth
the rat tail
the rat tail. Yeah.
In fourth grade, I have my fourth grade picture is me and my school picture is me in a yellow button down, red leather tie, and wanted people to see I had a tail.
Nice.
So because I was not. A lot of my Jewish brethren, John, it would curl up on them.
Right.
So I was very proud.
Can't grow that. No, that's true. It's a good point.
They don't allow that at private school.
They probably don't allow it
at
private school.
The nuns would cut it right off.
Yeah, no, so... That's right.
Those
so
friends of mine who had afros, big, big problems with that.
So yes. I was very proud. I was very proud because me and my Jewish friends could not make that thing grow. It would it would curl up.
That was a problem.
But you know what they would do, John, is
what's
they
that?
Would is they would dye it. So they would dye it blonde because
interesting.
But I always thought they were copping out because they couldn't grow a majestic one that you could just hint that it was over your shoulder.
Uh-huh. Yeah, could you braid it?
I would twist it until it was disgusting. I didn't have one for long.
How old were you?
Fourth grade.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, fourth grade.
Was this
grade.
Like Akeem coming to America, like? Or was this
No, because that would require braiding, because that was an African-American
No, thin. I went to high school with guys like this, where you just had it there, and, you know, it's like, I'm super
And
cool.
There was no rebellion to
Got
it.
The fingerless
that,
gloves.
That was a, I believe, if I can be so bold, that might have been inspired by Alex Lifeson from Rush, which shows you how nerdy it was. It was not in anything to be considered counterculture. That was me trying to look good, wearing a leather tie and having that tail. I don't know if this is true. Kirsten, go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Do you know that the BC Boys are, they came up with the term mullet? They are coined for that phrase.
Do you know in what avenue they did that?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay. Because
I believe it was in, they have that song, Mullet Hot, what is it? Sorry, I don't.
All right. Well, I would have to check my Grand Royal magazines. I know they celebrated the mullet.
Yes.
Business in the front, party in the back, which, I'm reading here some... Do you believe that the Beastie Boys invented the mullet?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's correct. Because the term? No, I don't believe so. No. They're from New York City. They didn't experience the mullet until much later in their lives.
I'm looking at something called Bustle.com. It says you can thank the Beastie Boys for the mullet.
Yep.
Popularly described as business in the front, party in the back. Beastie Boys coined the term mullet in 1994, according to this.
That's completely false.
The Oxford English Dictionary says that the Beastie Boys coined the term.
Okay, hey, that is completely false. There was a web, because that is not the date, because there was a website called Mullets Galore that was fantastic, and it was just pictures this guy's found of people with mullets, and he would put them in a category, like a mini truck mullet. He would put them in categories, and then he would have the pictures up. It was something I was obsessed with.
Okay. So, mullet head is not the first time that people have heard of that hairstyle.
No.
Okay.
Now, they were trailblazers in cultural... they were on the crest of every new cultural wave. But I do not believe that they coined the phrase mullet.
Okay.
Or the term mullet, I should say. All right. I want to get away from the Patriots for 1 second because there was abject thievery, and I have evidence of it now.
Oh, you have it? Oh, you were looking for it yesterday. Mike has found it.
Well, yeah, I just the Saturday Night Live stole.
Yes.
Saturday Night Live stole. Thank you, Be Real, but I'm not comfortable reading that on the air. Saturday Night Live stole, and I just want it out there.
Okay.
That Saturday Night Live stole.
Audio evidence coming up next.
From another popular sketch comedy show.
Okay.
Thievery. And I will prove it in just a moment.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
These guys,
oh my lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So I found an archive of the website Mullets Galore, and there are about 200 mullets documented, complete with a picture, and this is the feather mullet. The late 80s, early 90s were when the feather mullets and mini truck mullets started to gain political and economic power over Camaro mullets. Distinguishing characteristics include Z Cavaricci, Reebok, Izod, Gecko, Mitsubishi. The male feather mullet begins its brood while in high school and marries the mullet mate the day after he graduates. In order to keep the species alive and concentrated in all areas such as Modesto and Stockton, California, the feather mullet will acquire a management position at multiple fast food restaurants, and so is Oates with as many of the emotionally disturbed and underage female employees as he can. His mulletude is 10, his aggressiveness is 10. Sightings, Make Out Point Church. Favorite band was White Lion, now it's Pearl Jam. And the guys who sing Smells Like Teen Spirit, they have a good video. All right.
What did Bosworth's mullet rate, I wonder, when he was playing?
I mean, that would have to be like a jock mullet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Bosworth was late 80s, so
yeah.
Mid 80s in Oklahoma.
I love Andre Agassi had a really good.
Yeah, that was a fake one, too.
Yeah. He was wearing a hairpiece.
No way.
Yes. Read his autobiography.
I got duped.
Read his autobiography. That was a hairpiece. He was growing bald at the time, so he wore a hairpiece while he played. Worried about that a lot. Worried about the piece falling off.
Yes, he was all consuming to him.
Yep,
it was all consuming to him.
That's why he shaved his head. It was cathartic for him.
Yes, indeed. The trailer mullet subspecies Colorado Avalanche, pre and post larval stage. During its larval stage, the trailer mullet observes the behavior of those in its community in order to develop the many survivor skills associated with its breed. After this stinky species is well-schooled in the basic skills of the proper mullet, should know oh, well, I can't read this. And fat advanced metamphetamine production.
Oh.
I can't read that.
Okay.
And government assistance programs. This species is ready for a trailer of its own. While enjoying the fruits of our labor, this post-larval trailer mullet has lots of time for recreational activities such as kicking ass and taking names and woo partying. There you go. That is, so if you get a chance, you can look at that. All right, so SNL. I should probably play SNL first, right?
Sure.
All right, so SNL did a skit on Saturday, which went viral. It went viral. Everyone couldn't get enough. They were talking about this skit. They thought it was the greatest. And what it was, it's a takeoff on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air getting redone as a drama. Okay? And they use Family Matters. Well, and here is a piece. This is a 46-second piece from the Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
My nose.
Did I do that? What if I shot you in the face? Should I do that?
Drop the gun, Steve.
You're pulling guns out on kids, Steve?
The Steve Urkel I know is way too smart for that hood nonsense.
You don't know what it's like out here.
Son, I've been a Chicago cop for 20 years. If you continue down this path, you're going to wind up dead or locked up by your 18th birthday.
Oh, ain't nobody going to care if I'm gone. I ain't even got a family.
You're wrong, Steve. The Winslows are your family. And family matters.
Urkel, streaming this spring.
Okay, not funny. Key and Peele.
Okay.
Episode is ABC headquarters, Reginald Van Johnson in the Mr. Winslow uniform walks into the studio head's office.
He's just doing rails of cocaine.
And how long ago is this, Key and Peele?
10 years ago, but okay. It was viral. Like, I knew about it.
No, of course.
You just heard the one that SNL did. Here is the one that Key and Peele did.
Let me throw this.
What's the matter, Rich?
In the next episode, Steve Urkel turns Carl into a giant sandwich and accidentally eats him. This was supposed to be about me and my family.
I know. He's the star of the show now, sweetheart. We gotta play ball, Bubba.
Don't you dare Bubba me, Gene. Now, last week, Steve used his transformation machine to turn Carl into a car and drive him around the Monaco Grand Prix. How many times are we gonna use this transformation machine? 2 weeks ago, Steve Urkel used his invisibility ray on Carl, and I wasn't even in the goddamn episode. It was just my voice.
Yes, I know, Reginald. I'm sorry.
Then Steve used his voice changing ray to turn Carl into a high-pitched, nerdy voice. In a couple of weeks, Harriet, Eddie, Laura, Grandma, Aunt Rachel, Little Richie, and the other little kid are gonna get teleported to another dimension. And then Steve injects Carl with his own DNA, so Carl turns into another Steve Urkel. That's two Steve Urkels and no family on a show called Family Matters.
And then so then he goes, I can't have this. And then the head of ABC says, you will blank Steve Urkel's blank if he asks you to. And then the guy ends up killing himself. And Steve Urkel comes in and guides the hand like Darth Vader for him to kill himself. How does that get? How do they get away with that? How can you get away with that? How is that possible on Saturday Night Live? That the Key and Peele on Comedy Central with a viral skit gets out that you just completely ripped off. Someone in there had to have some knowledge of that.
Maybe they figure no one's watching. They get away with it. No one watches except for is Shay and Colin Joe still doing Weekend Update?
I have no idea.
All right, but maybe they figured that.
So they think no one's watching Saturday Night Live because
yes.
I would say one of the guys from Key and Peele is this giant director who's like winning Oscars left and right.
Yes.
I would imagine people are aware of that.
No, I'm not saying people aren't aware of Key and Peele. Everyone's aware of that. People, I guess Saturday Night Live. How many people watching that?
Oh, is Lorne Michaels writing this? Because isn't there talks about him walking away? Like maybe they have someone else. Writing here.
The idea is that he wants to walk away at the 50th anniversary.
Where are we now?
By the way, it doesn't comedy.
I'm 47, so 47.
Doesn't okay. Comedy Central, like, I watched that whole, like, Dave Chappelle thing. I'm sure they know about this, right? They probably got calls about this week.
I have, like, seen nothing on the internet talking about it. Now, we couldn't play the whole Key and Peele thing because, hey, I'm not playing a whole visual skit for people. But I mean, it is the theme of it is that Urkel is very evil.
The dark side of Urkel
is very evil, and it's probably next to the names of the football players they did the most famous skit they ever did. Now, this is not Carlos Mencia ripping off Bill Cosby himself in his stand-up act, where he does the "Hi, Mom" thing. But I mean, this is, how do they get away with that? How, and if you have 17 cast members and 45 writers, how can you not come up with anything original? Has anyone else noticed this?
Yeah, you could have done another show.
You could have done any other show, done Step by Step.
Yeah, Cody.
Done Blossom.
You could have done Growing
Pains. I would have liked to have seen Blossom.
Yeah.
All right, Mayim Bialik turns into a killer.
Yeah, so interesting about
all the Barnes brothers.
Oh, that was Brotherly Love.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Did you ever watch Brotherly Love?
Yeah, but they could have done a spoof on that if they wanted to.
Did you? Okay, so Blossom. So my daughter was looking for something to watch, so I said, you know what? Let's put on Blossom. But the first Blossom is, now you'll recall, Blossom's mom has Amscrade. She is nowhere to be found. But the now her jazz musician, talk about a mullet. Her mullet having, but jazz mullet. His jazz mullet having father has, he's got the kids, right? So, but the first episode is her going to buy tampons.
Oh, yeah.
Which made my daughter very uncomfortable. And so, no Blossom in the house.
Oh, really?
Out on Blossom.
Oh, that's okay. Too bad.
And by the way, so I said, let's watch the Golden Girls.
No tampons there.
Not necessary. they use them to fish. So, there's some in scrapbooks. But what they do is there's an episode of where they tackle the opiate crisis, and this is in the 80s. Listen to this. So Betty White's character announces that 30 years ago, she hurt herself plowing a field in where she was in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And that they just go, oh, you've been taking these pain pills for 30 years. So the idea is that Blanche goes, give them to me. Well done. Because what you want to do,
it worked,
to a 65-year-old woman who's been taking pain pills daily for 30 years, it's just nip it in the bud.
Just cut her off stone cold, cold turkey.
Nothing could happen.
Force her to survive without it instantly.
Yeah. And so she goes in, and this is handled so poorly.
Yeah.
So she goes into, they tell her, they're wearing bathrobes the entire episode. They go and they hear a crash in the kitchen. And it's Betty White looking for her pain pills. And she goes, I need them. I just need them tonight. And Rue McClanahan and B. Arthur wisely, and as I would suggest to everyone, if you know someone with a 30-year opiate addiction, is to just rip it away cold turkey.
Really torture the elderly every time you get a chance.
Well, John, it's got to be good for your body. I mean, it really has got to be good for your heart and everything else. Why wean off of it or get any kind of support? And they come to the conclusion that, a good talking to and then just removing the drugs will get her away from the 30-year opiate addiction.
Do you remember? Just say no.
Yeah, well, yeah. Just stop. Just stop.
Do you
yes.
remember what Dorothy and Sophia were doing that day, too? They were filming for a pizzeria TV commercial.
Oh, during that episode.
That's right. High Anxiety was the name of
that. And by the way, You know what cured the opiate addiction? A little cheesecake on the lanai.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah, you had a little cheesecake on the lanai.
Was that after she robbed a pharmacy?
No, it was after she had a stroke and died. I mean, Jesus Christ.
After she bought a gun illegally.
Like,
and crashed a convenience store.
Like you know, like, do little research into it. Like, you can't be addicted to something for 30 years and just go, whoops-a-daisies, okay, my bad. There's a massive... I would have to imagine a 6-month detoxing process that has to go on per that. And they're screaming at her. Just give me the pills, Rose.
Give me the Dark Golden Girls episodes. That's what I want.
There's a lot of them. There is a lot of them. I mean, Stanley was not a good ex-husband.
See, I would go all in. You were saying the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air got a gritty reboot.
Yes,
I'd do that for the Golden Girls.
Yeah.
I'd do that. Rose, see how that works out.
Tell her a note.
Yeah, well, Seriously. Yeah, they just follow up from her having to kick pain pills in the kitchen that night.
Do the gritty retelling of that episode. I'd love to see how that works out.
But apparently they're saying that Golden Girls episode was the first television episode ever to tackle opiate addictions, pills. Yeah. I'm sure there was like heroin stuff here or there.
Didn't Dorothy have a gambling problem?
Yes, Dorothy did have a gambling problem. The ponies. And then they just told her to stop. And then that was that. But it's amazing how little money they had. Because they were entirely indebted to Rue McClanahan, who was always going to get married. Mm. And there was always, once a season, Rue McClanahan was going to get married, and she owned the house.
Oh, so they would all get kicked out.
They would all get kicked out.
Yeah.
So, She was always flirting with the idea of marriage, much to the chagrin of the ladies, but it is what it is. But Saturday Night Live should be ashamed of themselves.
Wasn't one guy married to like six people?
In an episode?
Yeah, oh no, like was I'm just trying, like I remember like there were always things going on. Like,
well, the episode that required me to have a sock next to me. Was the episode where, and I've been through this before, is where Rue McClanahan, Blanche, seduced a college man.
Uh-huh.
In one of the first GILF situations, I would have to imagine ever in a situation comedy. But
they were groundbreaking.
Very GILFs? Groundbreaking. Well, groundbreaking for the fact that it was the first show that was that focused on, and by the way, John, not to depress you, the Golden Girls, not a lot older than you. I'm not lying either. Like, I think they were in their late 50s when that was going on.
I need a minute.
I believe the Golden Girls were in their late 50s.
I'm hoping you're wrong.
Okay.
I'm really hoping you're
wrong. Betty White just turned 100.
So. Yeah, I'm thinking that Betty White was at least 70 at that point.
Yeah, but she was by far the oldest. Yeah. Matt, go ahead.
So, Fred, you left out the point, though, that she does go to rehab at the end of that episode.
Oh.
They do.
Okay. I was so focused on them just taking the pills from her that I must have missed out. Now, did they? She wasn't in rehab for long because she was in the next episode.
They cut away. That's the thing. They cut away at a commercial break, and it's supposed to be months later, and they're all waiting in the living room for her to come.
Oh, okay.
But Joe, you were right. The very first episode, the guy that Blanche is supposed to marry is a polygamist or a bigamist.
Yeah, he's married in like 6 days or something, right?
Yeah.
That's the first episode. He's only known her a week. But you know what?
They fall in love. They fall in love in less than 22 minutes on that show every time.
But nice. She goes, he still cares. And then Betty White goes, about what? And she goes, if you don't know, it doesn't matter. You know what he still cares about? Slamming that ass.
That's right.
Is what he still cares about.
You know what the best is? Golden Girls, who do they try and cater to? Who were they hoping to get to watch that program?
Oh, I think that they were trying to get a general adult audience.
Were they? I thought it would be women, but I'm looking at the phones here. You had three guys on the line trying to call and correct you.
Well, then you're talking about the spinoff with No B. Arthur where they took over the hotel, which lasted two seasons, and Cheech Marin was on it. Bill, go ahead.
Well, there's another one. There's a pretty dark one when Dorothy is like a degenerate horse gambler.
Yeah, we just talked about yes.
Yeah, and then I had to get her off that too. And the thing about the one with Betty White is that the whole premise, like, oh, we just have to last the night. If we can just last the night without her taking the pills, then we're all set.
Yes, that, I mean, I have to admit that I maybe didn't make it to the end of the episode.
This is amazing.
But yeah, you're
Rain Man. By then. Seriously.
No.
You're Rain Man when it comes to this.
Just the one. just the one episode. And it only happened once. But looking back, Betty White was the best looking one. But I was so young. I don't know.
Blanche kind of had the.
But I couldn't tell what was going on with Blanche's body because she was always immersed in silk.
That's true. She had this flowing stuff.
Yeah, it was a silk nightgown covered by a silk robe and a silk dress. This, that. I couldn't really tell what was going on with her body.
I could see the problem there.
And they really desexified Betty White, to be honest, because it didn't go with her St. Olaf roots.
Yeah, she was an idiot.
Yeah, she was an idiot.
Simpleton.
Channel 56 growing up, I used to watch Three's Company, Golden Girls, and then I would get, what was the other? Oh, and I Dream of Jeannie. Mm-hmm. I would literally watch those in a row.
Bewitched was on.
Bewitched was one of them, and then what's the one with Joe? Oh, yeah, Three's Company,
But you know what's scary is that, like, looking back, when I was a kid, they would have shows like Please Don't Eat the Daisies and Father Knows Best, and by the time I was watching them in the early 80s, those had been off the air a shorter amount of time than like Seinfeld has now.
Okay, beginning of the show, Rose was 55, Dorothy 54, and Blanche 53. I feel like crap. This is not good.
But they were still active. They weren't like famously.
All I know is I watched that dumb show and I thought, man, those women are old. Thanks, Fred.
Not so old.
You suck.
Not so old. Very vivacious.
Jesus.
They're like the bus crew that goes to Foxwoods, John.
Oh, yeah. God.
Well, John can get all that. Do you get AARP magazine yet?
I had my AARP card delivered in the mail.
Yeah, you did.
It came to me weeks ago.
Yeah, you did.
Jesus. You should, like, tweet that out.
I don't know. I got to make my reservations for dinner. 4 o'clock.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen.
Is there a salad bar nearby?
Maybe your wife can have a cheesecake waiting for you when you get home. Because that solved everything.
Oh, man.
But according to this, Blanche's brother was gay, so they were one of the first TV shows to conquer that.
Well, interesting you mention gay. Because there's an episode where a woman who comes over, a younger woman, I can't remember how they're somehow in their orbit, comes over and Blanche is very not upset that the woman is gay, but upset that the woman's not attracted to Blanche, which leads to hijinks, but a very progressive way of looking at it. There was no judgment over the sexuality. Blanche was just like, well, I'm wearing sheets and sheets of silk. Like, why are you not, you know, trying to, you know, scissor or something? All right. Very good. When we come back, we'll be right back. We'll talk so much more about the Golden Girls. Hear the headlines.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
But you're rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, we're touching and rich, 617-779-0985. Alan, hello.
Hey, good morning. Yesterday, Fred was touching upon the problem of the team rather than the game, because we've seen like 5 weeks of this. And so I'm wondering if the hubris and the arrogance is going to prevent the Patriots from doing a proper, organic rebuild. What do you guys think?
Yes. Thanks. Yeah, yes. I think specifically, yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. We talked about it with Ted for about an hour this morning. Bill Belichick is not going to sit here and wait for a rebuild. He'll retire before that happens. So they're going to keep putting Band-Aids on it. And that has been the problem with a lot of dynasties in the past. Guys age out, guys leave, but you still think, okay, we're still in it, we're still relevant, and you saw it happen. You saw it happen with Dallas specifically in the late 90s.
And it depends what you want. I mean, the coaching staff is good enough that, I mean, you'll compete for a playoff spot every year. You'll never be terrible.
Every great dynasty has gone through this. You have to step back to move forward.
But
it,
I mean,
always
you,
happens.
And you might get, like you got this year, like a fun thing where, you know, people put out statistics and DVOAs and things, weighted DVOAs about how the Patriots are most likely to make the Super Bowl. And they put those out, you know, with five games to play. And everyone gets very excited and starts comparing Mac Jones to Tom Brady and all this stuff. And you'll get those moments. But at the end of the season, you won't be competing for a Super Bowl.
You can't say... How many steps away is this team? Is this team in the same neighborhood as Buffalo or Kansas City?
No.
Let alone other teams in the NFC?
No, and by the way...
That's the thing.
Other teams are improving, too. It's not like the AFC is getting worse.
I said off the air, who would you rather be, the Colts or the Patriots?
And he and I were batting this around.
The better is the Bengals or the Patriots.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I don't think the Colts is the right... I mean, the Colts need a quarterback.
But the Colts can draft.
Yeah, but they're not high enough in the draft to get a quarterback.
But getting a quarterback is the hardest thing in football, as you know. And then it's finding a head coach.
Carson Wentz, as we all found out, is not the answer. And the Colts just sent a first-round draft pick to Philadelphia for Wentz.
The Bengals can pick players in the draft next year for their defense. And
sure.
They're going to be...
Bengals are a lot... It's another guy, another team. Bengals are closer... Kansas City is closer.
How about the Dolphins?
As long as Tua stays there, they're not going to be good enough. No.
But they have draft capital.
Yes, they do. They have lots of draft capital.
So it depends. It actually depends on what they do with that capital. Because they're in a position now where they don't need to use all those picks.
Patriots have a low first-round pick. They're going to pick 21st.
And they can't. And would you guys be excited if they combined picks and moved up in the draft? I wouldn't. I think you need too much.
But I think they need a Micah Parsons-type player.
Well, Micah Parsons, I heard one scout before the draft say was a future Hall of Famer.
Well, he's playing middle linebacker right now.
Yeah.
He's an outside guy. Then.
Right.
And he's excelled at middle linebacker.
Right. And he might you could make the argument he's the best defensive player in football.
Yeah. Pro bowler, all pro his first year.
But Micah Parsons coming out, I mean, people were like, I mean, this kid's going to be a Hall of Famer. I heard that from a couple guys.
And he opted out last year, didn't even play. Can they find a TJ Watt one of these guys. I mean, you drafted Chandler Jones before. You let him go, and you traded him for Joe Tooney, and you got nothing. I'm just saying, they've been able to draft guys at 21 that have been good. Vince Wilfork was good. Chandler Jones. They need a defensive end and a linebacker. They need a corner of the future.
Well, they need a number one corner. They need an entirely new linebacking core. And, they need a number one receiver. And
they need a binky. I saw Skarnecki mention this. Mac needs a binky, a guy that he can go to. You know, you thought it was Hunter Henry at one
point. That was supposed to be Hunter Henry.
And that, by the way, would be the safer way to do it.
That's why they got two tight ends.
You want a tight end to be that security blanket. And for years, Ben Coates was that for Bledsoe. I mean, for years, the Patriots have done that. Gronk for Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amendola, the whole thing. Braxton Berrios was one that got away, Fred. That was a guy that was really good at Miami, came in here. They wanted him to be a slot. They cut him.
But, I mean,
he's been successful outside of New England.
Yeah, but when he was here.
Bring him back, he's a free
agent.
Well,
they couldn't play him here. They already had him and they had everybody else.
I know, but I guess what I'm saying is when Berrios left here, no one was saying, oh, my God, you've got to hang on to that guy.
I actually did.
Okay, well, you're one.
He was a punt returner who could play the slot for the future.
If he re-signs with the Jets, they envision him as a fifth receiver. Is that Elijah Moore would play slot, Corey Davis would be your second receiver, and they'd have to go out and get a number one receiver.
Yeah, he had a nice season, but he's not a guy you throw to 100 times.
I think Jakobi Meyers is a nice player. I know people like him. He's slow, and he doesn't have great hands.
Yeah, he's a slot guy.
He's not a slot. Well, I think he's god-awful slow.
He's a third receiver on a good team.
You can get Jamison Crowder. He'll be available. If you like a guy who plays eight games a year, go ahead and get Jamison Crowder. All right, we got a break. We'll be right back.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and PowerTee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.